We're going to get right into the Word. Open in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 13. Again, we're going to be looking at this verse probably as we start this message every time in the series that we're on about understanding the parable of the sower and really all the life lessons from the parables of Jesus as we've been going through them. But we've been spending a lot of time laying the foundation with this parable of the sower. In Matthew 13, verses 10 through 18, we've spent a lot of time in that, but verse 10 says, His disciples came and asked Him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And He explained that in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. He went on to say, Do you not understand this parable? And how then will you understand all the parables? So because of that phrase alone, I am purposing and have intentionally spent time on this parable of the sower before we get into others. Because if we don't understand this one and why this one is important, the benefit or the principles of this one, as we start going through the other ones, we're going to miss it. We won't grab hold of the principles of those other parables. Even though some of them are very obvious, I want to make sure that we've laid the proper foundation. So we've talked about Jesus as the teacher, that He came to reveal the mysteries of God, and specifically the New Testament mysteries. And He spoke to people with those illustrations, and He spoke to them in those parables. But His disciples, He would always separate them later on and sit down, and they would ask Him, now tell us what this really means. There's some of the parables that I've been studying, He doesn't explain it at all. He just throws it out there, and I think He's assuming that people will either get it or they won't. And when you start looking at the parable of the sower and the different types of soil, you'll understand why. But we'll be referring back to this parable all the time. Every parable we go through, we'll probably at some point come back and refer to this because this is the foundation. So again, we found out there's four types of soil, and those soils represent the heart of a hearer. Not just a disciple, but any kind of hearer, a listener, we could put it that way. We found out that God desires for us to be not only just a listener, but a learner. Is this one not working? It's I can hear it. So for us to be able to hear and understand is the key. We've laid that foundation. So there's four kinds of soil. Number one was the wayside. And in all three Gospels, it talks about the seed was devoured. Then there's the stony ground. In all three Gospels, it says the seed was withered. There's the thorns, the seed that's thrown among the thorns. And in those cases, the seed was choked. Also, all three Gospels have the good ground. And in that situation, the seed was fruitful. And we found out that the desirable response, obviously, from every disciple is for us to listen, to learn, to obey, to endure, and to be fruitful. And that's about as far as we got. It's taken me a few weeks to get here. So here's the important question that I've been asking myself and I've been trying to get to is, how does a person change the condition of the soil of their heart? As a pastor, I'm throwing the seed out. And I recognize that every one of your hearts is the soil upon which I'm throwing this seed. And I have no control over the kind of soil you have directly. I do have control over the kind of seed I'm sowing. I'm throwing out, I believe, good seed. And there's, you know, when Pastor Mary and I would drive back and forth years ago, and we were pastoring in Appleton as well as here, one of the things that we saw were many of these cornfields and these soybean fields. They would have little signs by them, like every 5 or 6 rows or 10 rows, you'd see a sign. And then there'd be another sign to the next 5 or 10 rows, and another sign, and it would have some kind of company or some kind of number, and it would say what kind of seed it was. Is this a seed that is for sowing, or is this a seed for feeding? So there was either a seed that would be used for sowing and planting to produce more seeds, or there was actually called feed corn. There was seed corn or there was feed corn. And so we would drive by, and I kept thinking about that the last couple of weeks as I was preparing for this. You know, some of the corn that I'm throwing out, I think I'm just feeding some of you. But I want to make sure that the corn that I'm throwing out is also seed corn. that it's going to be seed that goes into your heart that produces a multiplies and produces an abundant harvest in your life and in the lives of others. Not just you receiving it going, boy, that was a good message, Pastor. I just really got that. Thank you very much, Pastor. And then you go home and you enjoy it. And you might talk about it and just say, glory to God, that was great. But I want to make sure that I'm giving you seed corn as well that gets into your heart, not just into your belly, so to speak, and so that it's producing fruit in your life that other people can come and partake of. You know, a fruit tree does not produce fruit for itself to consume. It produces fruit to reproduce. Amen. The body of Christ is here for the purpose of reproduction. Amen. Amen. That's what the Great Commission is all about. We're here for reproduction, to go and make disciples of all nations. So when we understand the parable of the sower and the different types of soil that we encounter and the different, in a sense, times that our heart might be in any one of these conditions. So, well, I know I'm not wayside. Well, glory to God, I know my heart isn't hardened. Well, I know that my heart isn't full of thorns. My heart's a good heart, honest heart, and I'm bringing forth fruit. Good. That's a good confession. Keep saying it. But, you know, every single one of us at any given time about certain subjects, now you might be fruitful 130, 60, 100 fold when it comes to healing, but you might be stony ground when it comes to prosperity. See, different areas of your life might actually be in a different condition of soil. You know, sometimes you can be the most energetic and excited person, but you can also might be the most prideful person about some of it. I'm so humble, I'm proud of it. You see what I'm saying? Well, the very act can actually be detrimental to you. You can get in trouble about it. So when we go through these four different kinds of soil, how does that soil affect us? How can we consistently respond to our own hearts so that we are bearing fruit that others can be partakers of? Not just our, again, it's not about just me being, I am so fruitful. Great. The fruit of it is that other people are coming to you and receiving the kind of fruit that you're producing. Out of the heart comes good fruit. Not rotten fruit, good fruit. A good tree will produce what? Good fruit. So here we have this wayside, the four types of here. Again, it's the, now in the margin of my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, it's the official Bible that Apostle Paul used, you know that, is four different little references. They say the wayside is the indifferent hearer. The indifferent hearer. So these people heard the word, but the enemy came immediately and was able to take away the word that was sown in their hearts because they failed to understand what they heard. Say this with me, the simplicity of the gospel.
The simplicity of the gospel.
You know, if you make the gospel so difficult to understand, I guarantee you that person, no matter what they're hearing, they're going to be like wayside soil. If you're using language and words that are so difficult to understand for the average person, I've been in meetings with pastors and other ministers, and unfortunately in some of them they get so theologically overwhelmed that I'm going, there's no way in a pulpit that you're going to have an impact on most of the people that you're preaching to. They don't get it. This is a very simple seed packet. It's what this is a seed packet. And we're taking this seed and we're sowing it in the hearts of people. And it's got to be simple. You know, I am a simple guy and I usually preach a simple message. And I try to do that in such a way intentionally so that people make sure that they can go home. They're not going to be confused about what I'm saying. And so it's saying here, the enemy can come immediately and take away that word that was sown in the heart because they failed to understand it. If they do not understand it, I can sit here and give seed all day long, and people will go out and immediately, you can't even hit the parking lot, and the devil's going, all right, let's take that one, let's take that one, let's take that one. And we have to be very sensitive when we're witnessing to someone, when we're talking to someone, or when I have the responsibility to stand in the pulpit, that the words that we speak and the messages and the things that we put together are easy to be entreated, easily understood. If not, it's going to be a challenge. People are going to lose it. It's just the principle here that it's going to happen. The next one there is stony ground. The Thompson Chain Reference calls that the emotional hearer. The emotional hearer. The other one was the indifferent hearer. Next one is the emotional hearer. These people hear the word, they receive it with joy and gladness, they get all excited about it, but they have no root in themselves, and therefore they only believe and endure for a time. But when affliction, temptation, persecution, or tribulation come for the word's sake, they are immediately offended and fall away. We went through this. The next is among thorns. That's the worldly hearer, as according to my Thompson Chain, some of your other Bibles. These heard the word, they received the seed that fell or was sown among the thorns in their hearts. And however, there's a list of things that entered in and choked the word, such as the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, the pleasures of this life. The seed becomes unfruitful, never brings forth fruit to perfection. And obviously then the fourth one is good ground, or they call that the receptive hearer. These heard the word in an honest and good heart. They received it. But primarily it says they understood it. They got it. See, when someone walks out of here and gets something, and please understand what I'm going to say here, because this is going to sound really selfish. I appreciate when someone sends me an email or a text later on and says, "Pastor, that message you said, blah, 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 that really helped me." Thank you. That's a word of encouragement to me. Because most of the time, usually what I hear is, "Pastor, I didn't understand this," or "Why did you say that?" or "I don't know if I agree with this," or what, you know, so that kind of stuff. Now, I don't get a lot of that, but every now and then that's what comes up. So it's great that you get encouraged as a preacher. Now, we're in frozen Minnesota, so we're not down south where everything I say, everyone says, "Glory, hallelujah, preach it, brother, go, go." See, if you did that, I'd be going, "Oh," because I know that's not you. But every now and then you can shake your head. Be a bobblehead for Jesus, all right? Then I know you're listening. You can smile and be like, "I get it, yeah, I like that." Rather than going, that's a stony ground look. That's a thorny look. See, I am looking for the, not the wayside look, which is, I am looking for the fruitful look. See? I'm just encouraging you, all right? Now, as I was been preparing for this back a couple weeks ago, as I was preparing for it, I felt the Lord directed me to use a biblical example on all four of these soils. Because I believe that every single one of us can go through every single stage on all four of these at different times in our life and concerning different issues in our life. There are certain issues that, like I said earlier, some people just struggle with because of the traditions and doctrines of men that have told them all their life, you know, this is, when it comes to sickness or it comes to, you know, illness, you go to the doctor. God gave us doctors for that. You know, some of you, might, and like me, we might have been brought up in a denomination that no longer believed in signs and wonders and miracles. To them, a miracle was if you showed up to church. So signs and wonders and miracles are still in the world today. They're still, Jesus is still healing people, still doing things. Amen. Thank you. Bobblehead, thank you. So when you start reading through these, and I thought of Peter, because I think Peter's a perfect example of a guy who from the beginning all the way to the end has all these ups and downs in life. I wrote out like 3 pages of notes that I just came to me all of a sudden about Peter with this and he did this. And so they're really kind of shotgun here. So I've really tried hard. I thank God for cut and paste on my computer, because I have cut and paste. Thank you. So I would do this. I'd say, "Oh, you know, that fit better down here." And then I'd read again. "No, that fit better up here." And then it'll fit better. So I don't even know where they are anymore. I have 5 pages of notes. Oops. And they just kept getting shuffled. It was like shuffling a deck of cards. Because every time I'd find one, I'd go, oh, that would fit in good here. But no, that should go down here. But that would go up here. So I'm just going to scatter the seed. I'm sowing the seed. I'm just throwing it out there. All right, we're going to do that. So the first, I believe, situation that Peter found himself was the indifferent hearer. He was like wayside. You know, the very first time we're introduced to Simon is in Luke chapter 4. We find out that Jesus comes in, and it just happens to mention him. What he does is he comes in and he heals his mother-in-law. Isn't that interesting? He heals his mother-in-law, and she gets up and waits on the rest of them. We see no reaction from Peter whatsoever. None whatsoever. It's not till Luke chapter 5 that all of a sudden then Jesus comes up, because now he knows who Simon is. He comes up to Simon. Those guys are fishing. They're out on the job. They're out in the workplace. Jesus comes up. And I'm sure Simon remembers, hey, this is the guy that just healed my mother-in-law. Now, I don't know if how your mother-in-law is, but maybe that wasn't a good deal. So in this case, we don't know how Peter felt because he doesn't say. But Jesus walks in and says, hey, can I use your boat? You know the situation. And so he preaches. So the first thing, I think he's this mother-in-law, healed. Jesus does this wonderful thing. Peter doesn't respond. Whatever Jesus was doing, it got stolen right away. Then the next thing we see is Jesus preaching. Simon is just on the wayside at this point, listening, but something happens. And Jesus tells Peter and the disciples to throw the nets in the water, doesn't he? And it says, and they bring such a catch in that it starts to actually break the nets. You read this in Luke chapter 5. I have so many scriptures, I'm just going to shoot from the hip. Is that all right? And so they call their other partners. They come over with their ship. They fill up both ships so much that they're starting to sink. One commentary that I read says they probably caught so many fish that day, they caught more than they've ever caught in their whole life. Well, these guys sell fish and make a living off of it. They were probably set up. That'd be like finding a gold mine. Not only did they have a little net full, they had two ships full. They were sitting pretty good. They got to shore and all they're thinking is ka-ching. Money. We are blessed. But at the same time, then Peter has a revelation. What does he say? Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. So at that point, he's recognizing that he's the emotional hearer. Well, we also know from other situations, who's the guy that swung the sword and chopped the ear off of the guy?
Peter.
Peter's the emotional hearer. Peter's the one who gets all excited about something. Peter's the one that does all this stuff. So he's going through different stages in different places and different times of his life. He says, yeah, Jesus, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I shouldn't have anything to do with you. And Jesus says, come, follow me, and I'll make you a what? Fishers of men. Now, at that point, he has to make a decision, doesn't he? Now, I know some people say he just dropped everything. He left everything. He just, you know, went out and sunk his boat. No, he didn't. Because I'm going to show you at the end here, when Jesus is crucified and resurrected from the dead and actually ascended into heaven, what is the first thing when Peter does? He says, I'm going fishing. He went right back to his boats. You know, it says he had a crew. He had employees. He had a staff. This was a well-off man. And that man had a whole crew doing those things. And so he went off to follow Jesus, and the crew kept working. I'm sure those guys kept using that boat. In fact, they probably bought a bigger boat and a better boat with all the money they made from all that fish. Come on. And so we know that something happened here. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. 1 Peter 4 tells us that Peter understood something about being an emotional hearer. When he writes to the church, he warns us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, about no longer living this life according to the dictates of the flesh. He warns the church. He says that the flesh and the lusts of men will dominate you instead of the will of God if you're not careful. By the time he gets around to writing this, he has gotten older, more mature. He's starting to be fruitful and passing on his seed packets, so to speak, to the rest of the body of Christ. So when you see the wayside, you see the indifferent emotional combination there for Peter, you recognize certain things about his life. When it comes to worldly things, I believe 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11 also gives us an understanding that he knew about the cares of this life. He knew what it was to deal with all that emotion. He knew what it was to deal with the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things that are choking the word. It talks about that we are to learn how to what? Who says about casting all your care upon the Lord? It was Peter. He understood this. He was able to say to the church and to us, because he cares for us. And then he turns around and says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, we know that Jesus told Peter, Satan has come to do what? Sift you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And yet we know his faith failed at times. Not his faith in Jesus, I don't think, but I think at times his own faith in himself and in his own confidence. You know, sometimes the word faith doesn't mean just the spiritual thing. It means assurance. It means confidence. It means that you trust something. And sometimes we may have, there's no question, I know who Jesus is, but there are times in our lives when things don't go the way we think they're going to go that, you know, your faith in him is challenged. Your faith in the whole principles are being challenged. Satan loves to come and sift us as wheat. Now, isn't that interesting? He's talking about sifting us as a seed. The kind of corn, the wheat corn that Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8 are all talking about. He wants to be able to take that seed corn out, sift it out, and steal it. Whether it's immediate, like the wayside, whether it's eventual, whether it chokes it out with the thorns, he doesn't care. As long as it becomes unfruitful, the devil doesn't care. He just wants you to be fruitless. And so he's going to throw everything he can at you. And we can look at the life of Peter and see these ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. He went from the wayside to the stony ground to the thorns to finally producing fruit. And in certain areas of life, it's like chutes and ladders. Three steps forward, slide back two. Five steps forward, slide back four. Thank God he's still growing in the things of God, though. Isn't that true? You know, I've been at this for a long time. And I feel I'm about halfway across the board, finally. You ever played Chutes and Ladders? How many of you know what Chutes and Ladders is? Am I just talking? Okay, good. Most of you know that game. I know it's an old game, but it's still a crazy fun game with kids. But it's one of those games that's got such a great principle, because just about the time you're up there, actually, I'll use a more obvious illustration. We were playing Sorry. How many of you know what the game Sorry? Yeah. We were playing that with one of our grandsons. And he likes to win. And he would come around and, you know, he'd jump on Grandma's thing and send Grandma back. Sorry. Well, then Grandpa would come around and jump on him and I'd go, sorry. He'd give me that stony look. He wasn't happy. But eventually, you know, you just keep going. You just keep throwing the dice. You keep getting out there. And if you slide back, you go back. Sorry, you just go back. You take another run at it. Christians are not quitters. You know, as it says, you may fall down seven times, but a righteous man gets up every time. Every time. You may fall down. You may slip. Just get up again. Get going again. Climb the ladder again. Roll the dice again. Whatever illustration helps you realize that we are pressing forward in this game of life And we have an enemy who is trying to throw the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, the pleasures of this life, to come in and choke the word. You know, one of the biggest dangers of our culture today is all the gizmos and the gadgets and the things that we have. There's some people, if they don't have noise going on, there's something wrong. There's like, I got to have the TV on, or I got to have the radio on. You know, the problem with that is there's so much racket that at that point, how are you ever going to hear from God? There's a time when the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. For us not to be able to hear and to listen and to understand, well, the very first thing, the wayside, could be the fact that you've got so much going on all the time that you're not going to be able to hear. You know, we have to be like a radio that you fine-tune. You just tune yourself and there it is. I'm zoned in now. And sometimes that means turning off the TV, silencing your phone when you come to church. There are other times you just need to turn it off. You know, if you're going to go spend time with God and you're going to read your Bible, leave your phone in the garage or something. Because I guarantee you someone's going to text you. And I've been in meetings, I've been talking very serious things with someone, and all of a sudden, you know, their hip starts doing the wiggle. My hip goes, you know, I've had to learn, shut up. How did we ever live without them? You just take it up, you put it down, and you hide it. Because right now, I need to talk to you, and you need to talk to me, or I need to hear from heaven. I don't care about the next sale going on at Home Depot. Because that's usually the one that goes off so much. Okay, I'll look. 25% off on blinds! Is that important enough to stop listening to God?
No.
To interrupt your prayer time?
No.
To interrupt your time with face-to-face with Jesus? And yet, that's what it's saying here, that the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other, the pleasures of life entering in. You know, I'm all for having fun. I guarantee you, I don't mind having fun. But you can't have fun every single day, 24 hours a day. There are certain things in life you've got to take seriously. And so when you go through these, when he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, Peter knew what he was talking about. He'd been through this kind of soil. He says in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 5, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren who are in the world. But then he talks about God's all grace has called us in eternal glory, and I just don't have time to go through all that. What he's doing us is he's exhorting us to cast our cares upon Jesus, resist the enemy, be steadfast in our faith. That way we are producing a kind of soil that seed will produce fruit. But we have to ask ourselves, am I paying attention? You know, people may not understand this, but sometimes when I'm in my office, I actually have to close my door because we have two wonderful little kitties. And they think we belong to them, that they don't belong to us. They think we belong to them. And I have sat there, and if I don't get my door closed all the way, in fact, I had to change the doorknob on my office because the one cat that we have, we call him now Houdini. Because he I don't know how he does it, but he opens doors. He lays down, he gets underneath there, and he goes like this. And he rattles that door till it opens. He gets into my closet. He got into my office. I mean, it's annoying. And I'm sitting there studying. And, you know, cats are quiet. And I'm sitting there at my desk, and I'm typing, and I'm studying, and I'm in the zone. I'm with Jesus. And all of a sudden, this ball of fur jumps up between my legs and in my... And my wife goes, honey, are you okay? No, she never even asks anymore. So I had to go get a new latch type of thing for my office door and for my closet and for the one for the basement. One, they're like 20, 30 bucks, so I'm working my way through the house. Otherwise, Home Depot stock would be really up right now otherwise. So you just, you know, one by one I'm replacing them to keep him out of certain places. But that way I know when that door is closed, I'm focused. I'm not going to be interrupted. I can be in that place where I need to hear from God. I'm going to resist the temptation to be distracted. I'm going to resist the temptation to hear other things. I know people ask me, have you heard this Christian song? Have you heard that Christian song? I say, I'm sorry I haven't. Because most of the music I listen to is almost, it's songs without words, they call it. It's all instrumental. Because if there's words in it, that distracts me. So I'll listen to some really nice mellow music. And just, you know, it's just kind of there. It's inspirational to me. It kind of helps me get into that place. Find out what helps you. Find out what tills up the soil of your heart. Find out what is tending. You know, if weeds are in your heart, listen to what I'm going to say, because this is a good indicator. If there are weeds, things that are choking the word, that usually means we've been neglecting something. It means you've either been neglecting your time alone with the Lord, or you've been neglecting your time with the body of Christ. Because the Bible tells us to spend time with each other to encourage one another. And the Bible is very clear about either you get fed by that first relationship with Christ or that relationship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. We come together as the church. And if there are weeds in your life, or there are, in a sense, hardness of heart or stony places in your life, there's probably some area of your life that you've been neglecting and you haven't been focusing. You haven't been spending the time that you should. And, you know, every now and then you just have to go through and put down that weed killer. Amen. Whatever that might be for you, that's choking off your time with Jesus, choking off your time with the body of Christ, choking off your time where you're getting what you need to get from the Lord. Every single one of us, when we look at the life of Peter and we see how he went through these things, you know, right at the very end, we know from John chapter 12, Jesus is asking, well, let me back up here. In John chapter 13 first, let's do this. Like I said, I'm just scattering some seed here. In John chapter 13, do I want to go there first? Yes, I want to go here first. Peter says to Jesus, after Jesus says, you know, Lord, he says, where are you going? He says, where I'm going, you can't follow. Peter says, Lord, I'm not only willing to follow you, I'm willing to lay down my life for you. This is John chapter 13, verse 37. Jesus said to him in verse 38, will you lay down your life for me?